Welcome to A Great Day for Hockey Talk, brought to you by our founding partner, PPG, official paint of the Penguins. Here's Paul Steigerwald.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome once again to It's A Great Day for Hockey Talk. It's always fun to talk to Darius Kasparaitis, one of the more interesting characters to ever play for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was a fierce competitor, known for his big hits and also for his sense of humor. He was really great with the media when he was here in Pittsburgh from 1996 to 2002. He's of Lithuanian descent, originally drafted by the New York Islanders, played for the Penguins, the Avalanche, and the Rangers, as well as the Islanders. A four-time Olympian, three-time medalist, winning a gold medal, a silver medal, and a bronze medal. He received the title of Honored Master of Sports of the USSR in 1992 and was inducted into the Russian and Soviet Hockey Hall of Fame in 2016. His 28 career Olympic Games is a record among Russian national teams players. I had the pleasure of talking to Darius Kasparaitis from his home in Florida. Kasper, first of all, I'm amazed at how long you've maintained an interest in still playing the game. If I'm not mistaken, you were still trying to play in 2018 for Lithuania in the World Championships?
Yes, not try to play. I actually played. I played, and I had a good time. We won first place. We were promoted to the next division, which is division below the elite division. And this year they lost, so they went back to division two again. So you know what? I love the game. I love skating. I love playing. I always confuse when people retire. They don't want to do anything with hockey. Maybe for the health reason, but I feel like the more you skate, the healthier you are, and it's something that I love to do. I try to keep skating, and I try to skate three times a week. Still.
That's great. Let's go back all the way back to where you were in Elektrāni, Lithuania, as a young boy. How did you get introduced to the game, and how did you, develop your passion for wanting to play at a high level?
Well, I think, the reason I joined hockey because I really liked the equipment. I saw all the kids in my neighborhood, playing hockey and going to the hockey practice because I live in a very small village. So we used to dress up at home and walk to the rink. So I saw all the kids doing that, and I really fell in love with the equipment. And the moment when I was 8 years old, the first time I met my coach, he came to school and asked, who wants to join a hockey, hockey team? And I was the first guy in, so I loved it. And I feel like, we did it in the summertime. So the first time I actually skated in my life, I was very shocked that I could, I was thinking I'm going to fall and it'd be uncomfortable for me to do that. But I was actually skating pretty good right away. And I realized maybe, that was something for me. It was meant to be a hockey player.
Of course, over here, for years and years, they've always had rules about checking when you're a young lad. Here you are, 8 years old, starting to play the game, and it wasn't long, too long, really, in the grand scheme of things, that you were leaving home to go play in, organized hockey in Moscow, I guess. But
yeah.
Before that, when you're 11 years old, when did you develop your desire to hit and play that physical brand of hockey that you played later on?
I don't know. I realized that hockey was a sport for me because, when I got frustrated, I would just, go and start hitting kids. And I feel like, that was, I never forget my first hit, when I was maybe 9 or 10. I know this guy was trying to beat me one-on-one, and I actually hip-checked him, And I was like, wow, that was so cool, I realized that, I can express my frustration by playing physical. I didn't really concentrate on that, I knew that, Soviet, even when I was 14, when I moved to Russia, I realized that, they wanted to play the game a certain way, puck control, puck possession, and that's why I feel like, it was more like, 80s, 90s Russian-style hockey. So the hitting was not really big part of it. But we always knew that Canadians or Americans would play physical game against us. So we have to be very brave and hit them back. So I feel like when we play those teams, we kind of had the green light to hit them.
Absolutely. And you definitely like to take that green light to your advantage. So you're 14 years old. That's pretty young to be leaving home and going all the way to Moscow from Elektrinė, Lithuania. Talk about that experience when you first left your parents and went to Moscow.
Well, it was tough. You know, I was homesick. You know, it was basically a new country. I thought that my Russian language was good, but when I moved to Russia, I realized I was not really good. You know, and I switched from speaking Lithuanian all the time. I had to speak Russian all the time. So I went to Russian-speaking school also. You know, it's very tough for me. They told me just to sit in the back of the class and don't say anything. We give you a, like, C-. So, you know, I did it for 2 years. But, you know, I was homesick. You know, my first year, after my first year playing in Russia, I went back for the summer for, like, a month. I went back to Russia again, and I actually ran away. I came home, and I told my mom I don't want to play hockey in Russia anymore. I want to stay home in Lithuania. But thanks to my mom and my childhood coach, they drove me back to Moscow the next day, you know, and that was, I think, a turning point in my career that, you know, they realized that, you know, I have a good talent and they wanted to quit on it. So, you know, it was tough. It was tough, you know, 14-year-old kid, 15-year-old kid being alone in a big city like Moscow was very tough. You know, I was always hungry. You know, we didn't have enough food. You know, we are like, you know, I remember with Alex Kovalev, guys like that, Andrei Nikolishin, we would grow up together. So we used to steal food from each other, hide, and things like that. You know, it was a tough times, but we had a blast. You know, it was cool to bring back the memories now. We had a blast. You know, we had freedom to do whatever we want, and as long as we show up and play, and practice hard, you know, whatever happens after, I don't think nobody cared.
So did you go to a school? Was it a particular school that you went to where everybody was together all day and then played hockey? Is that how it went?
Yeah, it was a specific sports school. So we had different athletes from different sports, but the school was all athletes, you know, from the figure skaters, box, whatever. It was just kids who were into sports. So my class was... I had a couple guys from my team in my class, but the class next door was most of my teammates were in that class. So I think we all, you know, went to the same school. So we usually skated in the morning, and then we went to school, and then after school we had another practice. So it was more like organized sports education school, you know.
Mm-hmm. So now you're 16 years old, and you get a chance to play against men for Moscow Dynamo. Is that right? At 16?
Yeah, the first time I was invited to a main team, you know, Dynamo Moscow, the men's team. I remember they put me in a lineup. I was shocked because, you know, coming from Lithuania, and I was just very, you know, nervous. And, yeah, I had a couple. I played two games that year as a 16-year-old. And which was huge, you know, because playing against guys like Fetisov and Larionov, Fatonov, you know, they're already accomplished players and playing for the national team. And I remember playing one game against them. You know, it was just, I was so nervous. I remember I had to wear a mask, and I sat most of the game on the bench. I had a couple of shifts, but still, it was very scary experience for me.
Great, though. You know, just amazing story. So now I want to take you a little bit further along now, because I first heard of you at the 1991 draft. Scotty Bowman had seen you, and he wanted to draft you. You could only draft players 18 years old or 19 years old in the first three rounds up until 1991. So if you didn't go in the first three rounds, you would have had to wait till the next year, which is what happened. But Scotty Bowman wanted to select you in 91 in one of the first three rounds because he had seen you, and the ownership of the Penguins didn't want anyone to select any Russian players. Of course, maybe if they had known you were Lithuanian and not actually Russian, they might have thought differently of it. But anyway, I don't know if you remember that story, but I think Scotty was there the day or the night that you punched your own teammate in front of the net. Could you tell that story? And if you remember any of that about being available maybe for the draft but not – being selected in 91.
Yeah, I remember that because I played in 91 World Juniors, and I think I had a good tournament. And I remember that, you know, I realized that it was, you know, scouts and you can get drafted. But I remember that I didn't really focus on that. So, I never got drafted. I think Alexei Kovalev got drafted that year. I punched my own goalie because he didn't play that good. So after the game, when you go tap the goal in the pads, you know, I just punched him in the head because he was terrible, you know, and I was very upset. So I feel like, you know, I know that Phil Esposito told me the same thing. So when he saw me do that, he goes, oh, this kid hates to lose. You know, and I think that's why, you know, he actually told me you were thinking, you know, the first overall, I remember, 92 draft went to Roman Hammerlin, you know. And Phil said that, you know, Phil was really interesting to drafting me, but I was not tall enough maybe already older because I missed my draft year the previous year, you know. So, things worked out good because in 92 I was drafted 5th overall by New York Islanders. And if the Pittsburgh drafted me in the year previously, you know, so maybe they would have 3 Stanley Cups in a row.
I agree. because they wouldn't have had to play against you in 93.
And Mario Lemieux knocking Lozell down, or Kasparaitis, who gets up and knocks Lemieux flat. And play continues. And now Kasparaitis goes back at Lemieux. And Fossett didn't see it. Oh, boy. Here's Rick Tocchet to Mario. Kasparaitis on him again. Down he goes. This time he'll get called. In front of his net to Jágr. Kasparaitis lined him up and nailed him. And Jágr's down. Oh, a blind pass, and Kasparaitis had Jágr lined up from about 10 feet away.
There's no doubt which team wins the battle of the bodies here tonight.
It's amazing that night. I was there that night calling the game with Mike Lang in 93. The Islanders building was so antiquated that they put us with all the different TV feeds. Mike had to call the game in the end zone when we were on Long Island for those games. Well, you know how hard it is to call a hockey game from the end zone, from behind the net,
yeah.
But that's what he had to do. But we also had a good view of that that incident with Mario, where now that looking at it back on it, now that I'm seeing the whole thing, I see why you got so upset, because Mario cross-checked you in the back as you were going back towards the corner, and you went down and kind of head first into the boards, and then you were not happy with Mario after that, and you two had an amazing battle. Take me back to that moment and how you felt. You had to know who Mario was, but you didn't seem to care all that much.
Oh, not really. That was my first year in the league, so I really, you know, I knew, of course, who Mario Lemieux was, you know, and Gretzky and all the big, big name players. I was just upset that there was no penalty called, you know. So looking now in the YouTube videos, you know, I look like an idiot, but you know, I act like a crazy person. But you know, I was young, 19, 20 years old, you know, so I was just in the heat of the moment. I was using my frustration, but it's funny that it was no penalty call until maybe 2 minutes later in the play behind the net when I punched him again. So I got the penalty, and I got upset. But he was cool, you know, in the playoff, because, you know, the reason I was so relaxed that series against Penguins, because nobody gave us any chance to win even one game. I remember people saying that, you know, if you win one game, we'll give you a free lunch or something like that. You know what I'm saying? We're totally underdogs. And we knew that if we lose, we lose. If we win, it would be awesome. You know, I feel like, you know, and that's what happened. I think maybe Pittsburgh underestimated us too much, because I remember even being in Pittsburgh before the game 7 and being up 3-1, 2 minutes left in the game, I think, and the Pittsburgh say, okay, let's just tie the game up. And they did that, you know what I'm saying? So the talent was so, you know, so big in for that team. So it was kind of cool to see us win, you know, and accomplish that, which is still very huge and still very big in Long Island. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And your coach was a legend in Al Arbor. Do you remember an impact he made on you as a rookie?
Yeah, I did, actually. You know, he helped me a lot, you know, because when I came to a league, you know, I didn't really he was like a father figure to me, you know, because he was tough on me, but next, you know, but then, you know, it was nice, you know. So basically, if I behaved badly or did something bad, he would get mad at me, you know, and talk to me and, you know, in a certain tone of voice. But then suddenly, you know, maybe 2 hours or so, one day later, he would give me a hug or just, you know, he had a smile, you know, with his big glasses on him, and it just made me feel so comfortable, you know. Only one thing he bothered me about my weight, you know. He always checked my weight almost every day, you know. He always bring the scale on the road and see how much I weigh. And he would get upset if I would be like, you know, have a couple pounds extra, you know, next day. So remember, that was the one thing that I didn't like about Al, about checking my weight every day.
And how much were you supposed to weigh?
Oh, it was so funny. I came to NHL, was 190, and then after the playing one season in the league and eating a lot of barbecue, I came to the next training camp, it was 220. You know, so Al was very shocked that how can I gain 30 pounds in 1 year. So basically tried to get me down to 210, and I remember that, you know, he's kidding me hard a couple of times. But he made me realize that, you know, playing in the NHL, you have to be a professional because nobody's going to take care of you except you, you know. So he gave me, you know, a lot of, you know, a lot of possibilities to change as a player and see that, you know, I have to watch what I eat and things like that. But, you know, he was a big, big mentor to me.
And then you came to Pittsburgh a few years later and amazing time in Pittsburgh. 6 years. You played longer in Pittsburgh than you did in Long Island, so really you spent more time with the Penguins than any team. Do you tend to identify as a Penguin now? Like if you said, what team would be the one you'd be most associated with? Would it be the Islanders or the Penguins or both, do you think?
Well, I think I also played for the Rangers, if you remember.
Yes, you did. Oh, yeah, and Colorado.
Colorado. I feel like, you know, I was, you know, because I played the most in the Penguins uniform, you know, I had the best career, best hockey years in Pittsburgh, you know. I feel like, you know, it's hard to kind of associate with one team, but of course, you know, I always going to be a Penguin, same as I always going to be an Islander or the Ranger, you know. Even I didn't play as much as I played for the Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh made a lot. You know, I always consider myself a Penguin, you know what I'm saying? Because playing for living in my daughter was born in Pittsburgh, you know, my oldest child, and just being part of the community and basically living there for 6 years, you know, I had a blast. You know, it was a great, you know, I wish I retired there and played 10, 12 years, but, you know, business is business. And I always have great memories about Pittsburgh because, you know, I gave my soul to that organization, and I was very proud to be a Penguin.
And the Penguins had an organization where you could let your hair down a little, literally for you. Would you agree?
Yeah.
It was like an environment where you could have fun and also work hard and win.
I was shocked when I got traded from New York Islanders. I came, I remember my first practice, EJ was running in the practice, and guys were not wearing helmets, no shoulder pads, and it was just a nice, calm skate. Being, you know, coming from New York, losing and having Mike Milbury screaming at you all day. I was like, wow, you know, this is crazy. Then going on the plane, I remember we had a road trip. I was going on the plane and everybody's playing cards. It was just such a cool environment, you know. I was like, wow, this is fun. These guys make hockey fun. So I loved it. You know, Pittsburgh was cool, you know. Maybe it changed a lot since I left, but, you know, we had a very good character coaches, you know, starting with Kevin Constantine, EJ, you know, Ivan Hlinka, Herb Brooks, you know. It was having a lot of European players playing on the team, you know. It was just fun. I remember our team was, we played hard and we had, you know, a lot of good times, but at the same time, you know, we made game, you know, very interesting and very fun to watch.
When you came to the Penguins, Mario was still playing. He retired, and then you were there still when he made his comeback. But I'm thinking to myself, I saw a quote where Mario said to you when you first came back, now you had that battle in the playoffs, and maybe he didn't think too kindly of you at that point, but he kidded you about, we're going to have to start wearing shoulder pads in practice now with you here, something like that. Is that true?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that when I got traded. I was actually shocked when I got traded to Pittsburgh because I thought I was most hated player in Pittsburgh. you know. And then when I got traded there, I was like, oh my God, what, how is this thing gonna work? These guys started hating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool, you know. They all met me, you know. They made me feel comfortable. Mario made me feel comfortable by taking my money in the poker games. I had a blast being a Penguin and playing in Pittsburgh, you know, with the guys like Lemieux, Jagger, Francis, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Tom Barras, you know, they were very great athletes and they're very great people, you know.
Why did you grow your hair so long, Casper? It was just, you know, now we have Chris Letang, who sometimes seems to look a little bit like you, only with dark hair. But it seemed to become your kind of your trademark.
You know what? I stopped believing this thing, Samson. If I cut my hair, I'm going to have bad luck. So I just let it go. You know what I'm saying?
And, yes, I do.
And then it was my, you know, it was my kind of, you know, mojo. Everybody knew who I was. So I remember before I got traded, or maybe it was seasons before that, after the season, I was so sick and tired. People recognizing me everywhere in Pittsburgh, so I cut my hair short. I remember going out one night, and nobody would recognize me. I was like, wow, this is cool. You know, because Pittsburgh, it's not a big town, so people really follow the team, you know. So when I had my long hair, everybody knew exactly, you know, who I was. But I don't know, it was just something that, you know, I went through life, you know, with the long hair. And looking back now and showing my kids my picture with the long hair, they're making fun of me.
Yeah, meanwhile, then it really was your trademark because people really did recognize you because of it, and it was awesome. It was just such a paradox because you were so tough, and then you had this long hair. It just was a cool combination. So 98 rolls around. Like you guys played the Flyers in the playoffs, and I looked at some video, and they were knocking you guys around pretty good in that 97 series. You know, they had the big Legion of Doom line. They had, you know, and those guys were pretty physical on you. And then 98 comes around, and Eric Lindros became a little bit more vulnerable, I think, perhaps because he always had his head down. But you caught him one day in the neutral zone in Pittsburgh, and, you know, it was he missed 18 games after that with one of the severe concussions that he got.
Back to a one-goal game. And they're going after Kasparaitis. The Flyers very concerned. Lindros took a blow to the head, knocked the helmet right off, and he is dazed, and he's in trouble.
Looking back on it, how do you feel about that hit, how it affected Eric Lindros' career, and just in general, the reaction that you got in the building that day when you put that hit on Eric Lindros?
Well, first of all, I feel bad that, you know, it got hurt, but it happened so fast. You know, I don't really, you know, concentrating on hurting people, but I knew that they have a power play and, you know, they were breaking out in the power play. I just, you know, tried to hold the blue line and I saw Eric skating, you know, and I didn't really realize, you know, he had his head down. I just finished my check. That's all I did, you know. But then, you know, by the crowd reaction, you know, the building erupted and I realized, you know, he got hurt because right away, you know, Flyer players jumped on me, you know, tried to, you know, punish me for the things I did. And I realized, you know, that was a big hit and Eric was injured. So it's very, you know, hard to see, except Alex Morozov, you know, he was very celebrating that on the bench. You know?
Oh, he was? I don't remember that.
You can see the video when you go, I go to the bench, he's like tapping my shoulder and like laughing. Smiling. So, you know, he got in trouble actually the next day because we played back-to-back games with Flyers. But, yeah, you know, that's how I play. You know, I play like that. It doesn't matter if it was Eric or not. Unfortunately, it was Eric. And, you know, I played with him in New York for a couple of years. And he called me on the eve of July 1st, invited me to play for the Rangers. You know, so it was just an accident. You know that he got hurt, but same time, you know, I remember the Penguin fans were going crazy.
They were, and Casper, I also know that, you know, just because of the way you were built, you had that low center of gravity, you had that big butt, and you could get down in that crouch position and really, you know, you mentioned earlier about throwing that hip check and liking it. Well, that was something you were really good at, and I think because of the way you were built, your hip checks often took guys out a little lower, you know, down by the knees. And it looked like you were trying to take guys' knees out, but you just were built in a way that made it possible for you to do that. But eventually, the league kind of took exception to the way you were doing that and almost legislated against you. Don't you remember that? It was like the Kasparaitis rule, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. I remember they made a clipping rule. If you hit the guy lower than his knees or something, hip check the guy, so they call it clipping.
Yeah.
So I remember I was usually got called a couple of times by hip checking. I remember hip check Otto against Flyers, and I got called for clipping because, you know, I went too low. But Otto was like 7 feet tall, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know, you know, I always say that I play in the perfect time. You know, if I play 10 years before, I would probably get killed by somebody's stick. Or if I play now, I probably get suspended a couple of times because, you know, it's a different game now. And I feel like, you know, what I play, I think 90s, you know, for me was perfect, you know, because I can play physical and I had the referees to protect me and things like that. So I know the head check was part of my game. Then suddenly it was, you know, I have to be careful how low I go. But, you know, I just, when you play physical hockey or when you're here like me, you know, you don't really think about when you go hit somebody. You just go hit somebody to finish check. You don't really, you know, try to kill anyone, or you just want to finish, you know, you want to make a nice highlight, of course, but you don't want to hurt anyone, you know. So sometimes, unfortunately, guys got hurt and they thought that I was cheap and tried to take the knees out. But honestly, I didn't really think about it.
So, you know, we're talking about hitting and that being such a big part of who you are, and rightfully so. But the one thing that seems to be remembered by a lot of people is a famous goal that you scored, Casper, in 2001 to win a series in Buffalo.
Taking over on the play is Robert Lang. He's got a trigger. Here's Casper Reiters. Wristing one. He shoots and scores. The Pittsburgh Penguins have won the series in overtime. Darius Kasparaitis. And ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building. Of all the candidates you could talk about, probably one of the most least likely would be defenseman Darius Kasparaitis. And he gets the game winner.
I'm sure that that's something that you're very proud of.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's nothing you can, you know, that's one of the highlights of my career in the NHL, you know. I remember even dreaming about scoring in a game seven, or in overtime in playoffs. I remember my roommate was Rene Corbet, and we're talking about if you score in overtime, a game winner, how do we celebrate? I said, first of all, we never score. And I remember Rene told me, you know, he's probably not even going to play. So we're just, you know, joking around. And next day, you know, when I scored, and the celebration and everything, you know, was just pure joy. I didn't really practice there, or, you know, I was just like so excited, you know, that the puck went in and we won, you know. So to just, you know, the slide on my belly, I was, this is actually like, you know, like a little kid, you know, enjoying the moment and having your teammates, you know, crush you, jump on top of you, you know. That was probably the most scary thing because I was still running out of hair, I remember, being underneath the pile.
That was so great. And, you know, it was such a big deal because Mario was involved in that series. Remember, he had scored that amazing goal where the puck dropped out of the heavens and to extend that series. And then, you know, you guys end up winning on the road in Game 7. And what a group you had. I mean, I'm going to name some couple of players and just have you react to them as teammates and guys who worked on the staff. For instance, equipment manager Steve Lattin. What do you say about him?
Sevi, I know, I still keep in touch with Sevi on Facebook. He's you know, he was a class guy, you know, all our trainers, you know, everybody on the team who worked those years, they were great. You know, Steve Lattin was a good guy, you know. He loved the game, he loved the players. He also, you know, I had a good relationship with him, you know. I loved how he treated me, and, you know, most times you can ask anything and he would do anything for you.
Yep, and Johnny Welday, the strength coach, he seemed to have a – you two seemed to have a good relationship too.
Yeah, because Johnny somehow – unfortunately, he's not with us anymore, but Johnny somehow thought that his head was smaller than my head, you know. So we always had big head jokes with him. But I remember Johnny Welday, you know, always challenged me in the gym, you know, or like I want to arm wrestle him or wrestle him. You know, he was a big man. But he was a great guy too, you know. All, you know, all the training staff, you know, little Paulie and everybody, you know, we all had a good time there. We didn't, you know, we didn't separate players or training staff. We kind of we kind of felt like it was a big family there.
Mm-hmm. And your language, your English language is really good. You talked about speaking Lithuanian and going to Russia and having to sit in class to learn Russian. How did you learn English?
Just from talking to people. You know, my first roommate was Scott LaChance in New York Islanders, and I remember watching TV with a dictionary and asking him questions, show me this word, show me this word, and just learning from people. You know, I never actually took one single English lesson in my life, so that's why I suck in spelling. My kids always ask me to help them with the homework, and I have to Google everything, and you know, and it takes me such a long time to figure out things. But yeah, just from people experience, you know, I was never shy of making mistakes. Actually, I'm shy, more shy right now because I feel like, you know, I've been living in this country for 27 years and I still have an accent. And every time I speak in a gym with my friends, they're like, oh, what did you say? That was in English? You know, they make fun of me. Yeah. I get upset now.
I would say to them, I say, you go over to Lithuania and try to learn our language. See how long it lasts. About 5 minutes, you'll be like... Right? I mean, you know, that's the thing that always impressed me about you European players is that you had to come here and learn the culture, learn the language very quickly, and I tried to project myself doing that, and I realized how difficult it is, and that's when you become more appreciative of just how amazing it is that you're able to learn these languages. Did you learn any other languages? Because you were in that locker room with a lot of Czech players as well, so did you learn any Czech stuff? Because I know there's some similarities between Russian and Czech, a little bit.
Only bad words. You know, I know the Czech bad words, but not really. You know, we spoke Russian. It was a lot of Russian guys too. You know, English. You know, I understood a little bit of Czech language, whatever. But in life, you know, you want to learn all the time. So I'm still learning now Spanish, and I know a little bit of Swedish now. So it's always good to know more than one or two languages. You know.
Yes, absolutely. Kasper, you were inducted into the Russian and Soviet Hockey Hall of Fame. What was that like?
Oh, it's cool, you know, because, you know, I know I'll probably never get inducted in different other Hall of Fames, but, you know, they appreciate me in, you know, and being inducted and being acknowledged as one of the great hockey players in Soviet Union or Russia. You know, it was cool because I came from, you know, a country where there's no hockey. You know, we have a basketball team, but there's no hockey there. So just living my dream, you know, and all this accomplishment. I was just there recently, maybe a month ago. I went in, I see my picture with the long hair, of course.
Good.
You know, and it's just cool to see with all these great Russian players, you know, and I'm there, you know, like you know, Kharlamov, you know, Mikhailov, Petrov, guys like that, you know, and having my picture there, it's awesome, you know, it's a dream come true.
And you've played 28 Olympic Games, which is a record. No other player over there has played that many games. That's amazing. It shows you how long your career was and how much you were appreciated by that program.
Yeah, you know, I really, you know, I got lucky because I played with such a, you know, I through my career I had experience playing with a lot of good players. And I'm lucky that, you know, Olympics were part of the NHL schedule. Even, you know, I represented Russia and it was not my whole birth country, but I grew up with all those guys I played with. So they gave me opportunity to succeed, you know, and to play in such a high-level tournament. So I feel very fortunate, you know, playing in the, you know, I have all three medals. Hope, you know, I wish I had all three gold medals, but, you know, one of each is good.
Yes.
And, you know, it's something I have right now. I see right now in my kitchen. I only acknowledge in my family. Nobody cares about him except me. But maybe one day one of my kids will, you know, maybe realize how big it is to be Olympic champion.
You mentioned you have a son that you was born in Pittsburgh, but you also have five other kids now. You have twin daughters and three sons. Is that right?
Yeah, I have. My daughter was born in Pittsburgh. She's 22 now.
Oh, your daughter. I'm sorry. Yeah,
she was born in 1997 in McGee's Hospital. And now then I have twin girls and I have three boys. So,
are they playing hockey?
They're all skating, but I don't see the talent yet. So maybe one of them, the little ones, maybe they will get better. But it's so hard. Hockey is such a hard sport when you live in Florida. You know what I'm saying?
You mentioned that Lithuania had a basketball team. I was looking up stuff about Lithuania, and it mentions that, you know, typical Lithuanians are tall. and dark.
Yeah.
And I think of Dinas Zubris, okay? He was a Lithuanian hockey player from your hometown. He looks like the way they describe most Lithuanians looking. You didn't look like that. You're a blonde guy. You're shorter, stocky. So why is that? What was your mother's nationality?
My parents were Lithuanians. I think my mom had a little Polish mix in her, but but otherwise, you know, I don't agree that Lithuanians are dark. They pale. But yeah, they are
dark hair, right? Dark.
But I'm not short. You're shorter than me.
That's right.
I'm 5'11".
I'm shorter than everybody, Casper.
I'm 5'11". Come on. Every time I go out, I feel like I'm a tallest guy. So I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You could eat peanuts off of my head. So yeah, you're right. Okay. I guess I want to close out by just asking you what you're doing for a living now. I know you're in the development business a little bit down there in Florida, but it sounds like you still would love to be in the game of hockey just by the way you talk about it.
Yeah, you know, I have a big passion for the game, and I really, you know, it's so hard for me to commit, for example, into coaching because, you know, I have to move all my kids and my family somewhere else, and I feel like, you know, I would love to do that, but at the same time, you know, it would be very probably expensive and on a coach's salary. But I really want to, you know, be back and be involved in hockey. You know, I want to, I don't know, maybe scouting or I really, you know, would love to do player development because I feel like, you know, I have a passion of teaching and just, sharing my experience because, you know, I went through a lot of things in life. You know, I battled with addiction, and then, you know, I've been clean and sober for a long time, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, I got divorced, and now I have 6 kids, you know, and being a dad and dealing with pressure, being an athlete, you know. I would, you know, I don't want my talent to go away without sharing it, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I would really love to be somehow involved in the game.
Well, I'll tell you what. I can just tell you from just talking to you, Casper, it's bringing back all these memories of what a great guy you are, how much you were loved here in Pittsburgh by your teammates, by the fans. You know, I can tell you that it would be great to see you here in Pittsburgh every now and then. I think you should come around on some of these alumni things, and let's get you reconnected with the Penguins because you're
perfect.
Just a joy to talk to.
Actually, I'm coming to Mario's thing.
Good.
End of January.
Good. Well, you know, make sure when you do that you make yourself available to the media or whatever so we can get you maybe on TV or, you know, something. Because
perfect.
It's just awesome. I really, really enjoy talking to you. Thank you so much, Casper, for taking the time. And really glad to hear you're doing so well personally. And your career has been fantastic. Congratulations on that. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing Darius Kasparaitis in person again when he comes to Pittsburgh to play in Mario Lemieux's fantasy camp in late January. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is Paul Steigerwald, and we'll talk to you next time.